Welcome to the Ambitious Freelancer Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Cross of The Happy Art Canton, and I'm here to help you show up as your best self while you're finding clients, working with the clients, and getting those testimonials to build your better business. We will be talking about everything you need to know when it comes to freelancing, whether you're a beginner or someone who has a few years under their belt. So let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 36 of the Ambitious Freelancer Podcast. So today we're going to be talking about imposter syndrome. I just had like the biggest case of imposter syndrome that almost made me not pitch a company. And so I wanted to really just talk about this in the moment, like my thoughts, my feelings, what was happening in my head, and really encourage you to send the damn email, to send what you are like trying to avoid, because it's so important, you guys, to just send the email, send the proposal, send whatever it is, even through imposter syndrome. So for a little bit, I do want to talk about my new journal planner. Actually, it's a planner. It's called the 90 Day Ambitious Freelancer Planner, and you can get it on Amazon. It's $23, available for Prime, just like Client Call Simplified. This was the first project I worked on. Client Call Simplified kind of took the front row because it was an easier journal to create, but this is my baby, you guys. The Ambitious Freelancer Planner is 100% my baby. I'm currently filming this a few weeks ago. Like, I'm filming it early November, so I actually don't have it up yet, but I just got my proof yesterday and I'm so pumped about it, you guys. I just have a few more things to fix. I'm gonna make sure that by the time episode 36 airs that it will be alive. I'm currently filming this on the day that episode 34 just went live, so we have one episode between this one and that one, so we should be able to have everything up by the time this episode airs. But it is a beautiful planner. Everyone who's seen it says it looks good. I'm really pumped. Like I said, I'm just going through today and the next few days to kind of go through everything, make sure it's what I want, and then re-upload it to KDP. And then it should be available in like a week and a half. So hopefully that is between when episode 34 airs, which is today, and when this airs a few weeks from now. So hopefully everything will be up in time. And if so, if not, it's going to be in the next few days, but it should be up today. And you should be able to go to the show notes of this podcast and get the link, or just search for the 90 Day Ambitious Freelancer Planner on Amazon, or go to theambitiousfreelancer.com, because I'll have a little sales page up. It'll be on like the main navigation. There's a little journals tab I started. Under there, you'll see Client Call Simplified and now the 90 Day Ambitious Freelancer Planner. But let's get back to talking about imposter syndrome. You guys, imposter syndrome for me is so challenging. You know, I have an education. I have an educational background. I got my master's in sociology, but that seems like such a distance away. Like, I don't even know who that person is who got her master's, to be honest. Like, I've changed so much. And honestly, most of the time, I don't feel educated or smart, even though I spent like 6 years in higher education. We got my bachelor's and master's in sociology. I just don't feel smart on a normal everyday basis now. I don't know what it is. I need to be more educated, I guess. I guess it's more use it or lose it. But at the same time, I know that I'm still smart and I can write good sentences or great sentences and I can work really hard. But I don't know. It's just something about like when I'm up against certain people, I'm like, wow, who am I to decide that I'm the right person for this, or that I should pitch myself, or that like my skills are needed? It's really hard sometimes, especially with what I do. So if you guys didn't know, I write for HR tech startups usually, and people in startups are like really effing smart, like especially venture-backed startups, because most of those people have like gotten like these really fancy degrees from like these really prestigious universities. And here I am with my University of Central Arkansas undergrad and Arkansas State University, you know, master's. And I'm like, am I smart enough to be in the same rooms with these people, or like talking to them, or like asking to write for their companies? Would my articles actually even fit what they're wanting? Do I look stupid, essentially? Am I stupid compared to these people? And some of these people are like way younger than me. Like, I'm 26 years old, almost 27 years old. And I'm like talking to these people who are younger than me. And I'm like, wow, these people are really fucking smart. And like, look at me being who I am. Like, am I eligible to talk to these people and be in the same room with these people? It's really challenging for me to see my writing and, like, be like, oh, this is the writing that's gonna get me in the rooms with these people from these, like, really big universities. And then I have to think, just because you're from a really big university, just because you're smart, just because you're this, doesn't mean you're smart is not everything. Not everyone has those same skill sets that I have as writing for the internet and, you know, creating really strong articles. So, like, yeah, I don't have, like, this fancy degree. I don't have this fancy diploma. But I have to understand that not everyone has my ability to write sentences, and not just write great sentences, but not just write for the internet and write great sentences or whatever that means, but writing in a way that connects big ideas to people who don't care about those big ideas and just want to have an easier time in their life. So some people, when they are creating their big thing, they kind of get high off their own supply, you know? They're like, oh my goodness, my thing is the best thing in the world, and it's like the bomb. And they get into that set of like, I'm just amazing and everyone should know I'm amazing, so how can I don't need to write it like that. Like, I don't need to write it practically. I can just write it in these like grandiose terms and be like all in my head and all in the clouds without thinking, hey, how can I like not dumb this down, but like get this down to their level so they can actually understand it. So they can understand my message and actually see, oh, this is why I want this product. It's not because of all this like fancy, spancy talk. It's because, oh, this is gonna make my life better. This is gonna make my company better. And that's something that not a lot of people and startups have. I'm not saying that everyone is that like grandiose or like big-headed, but I think that most people don't really know how to talk about their own products objectively and also condense down. They, like, when you're talking about a product in general, sometimes you're like, oh my god, this is the most amazing product in the world, but if you can't explain to people why they need the product or why they want the product or why the product will help them, exactly what's going on, like, you get so attached to your own product that you're not able to objectively say, hey, this is actually why. And I think that's something we're all learning how to do. Like, I'm learning how to do that with the products I'm selling. Like, obviously, I love the 90-Day Ambitious Freelancer Planner, and I put a lot of love and energy and effort into that. But that means absolutely nothing to you guys, because you guys don't care. You're just like, how will this planner make me a better freelancer? And, like, I know it's just $23, but that's still $23 I could be spending on something else. That's, like, five different Starbucks coffees if I get, like, the small size possible. So, like, what is your thing gonna do for me that like five Starbucks coffees won't? So, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a big thing. Like, everyone is having those issues. And so just because someone is seems smarter than you on paper, they have like the better degree than you on paper, and they're in this big fancy startup that's worth multi-$1 million, like, that's just something. That's one thing. And also, you have to think about, there are certain things that people don't want to do. That's another thing. Like, being in the room with people who are like bigger and smarter than you, like, maybe they're bigger than smarter than you, but they don't want to do what you are doing. They don't want to write. They don't want to do that. They just want to pass it off to someone else. And if you don't pitch yourself, or you don't ask, hey, is this something you're looking for, then you're putting yourself out of that conversation by just saying, oh, they wouldn't want me anyway. You don't know that. Like, you actually don't know that. You don't know that person. You don't know what they're thinking. You don't know what they need. And so the best thing you can do for yourself is to pitch yourself, see what's happening, see what the conversation is, and then, like, yeah, if they say I don't want this, and it's like, okay, yeah, cool, you don't want this, like, it's no hard feelings, but there's nothing you could be doing. You should always be pitching yourself, is what I'm saying. Like, if you want to work with a company and you think that you would be a value and asset to the company, pitch yourself, even if you think the company doesn't want you, because you never know what they need in their life. Like, that same email that I was struggling to send, they've opened it like a trillion times and they clicked the links a lot, so I don't really know what that means. I'm actually gonna check my email right now. I know they've opened it. I use MailTrack, by the way, so that's how I know. And so I like track emails. They haven't sent anything yet, but yeah, so I track emails. And so that's something I wouldn't have known, like, wow, they actually were interested, or at least enough to open the email, at least enough to click around and look at my portfolio and look at some of the pieces I've written. So I know that they are at least somewhat interested in the work. And a minute ago, I didn't didn't want to pitch them because I was like, wow, they're going to hate me. They're going to be like, I'm so smart and snooty and I'm just like this and that. And like, I don't know these people personally. That's something you have to think. Like, just because they have these like credentials on paper, they're doing this particular job on paper, doesn't mean that they don't want you. They don't even know you. So you can't even say, oh, that person wouldn't want me because they don't know you. They don't know who you are. They don't know what you do. So if you pitch them, get on their radar, then we'll be like, oh, wow, that's a person I didn't know I needed. And I think that's really important with like anything with pitching. Like, they don't know you, or they probably don't know you. They may know you. I mean, depending on how big your brand is. My brand is pretty small. So people don't really know me that much when I contact them. But then once they see my portfolio, see the work I've done, they're like, oh, wow, this person is exactly what we needed. And it's really awesome. So I want you guys to pitch yourself more. I know I need to take my own advice and pitch myself more. So let's really talk about the types of imposter syndrome, because I did want to kind of mention that. That's just like my personal story. But there's types of imposter syndrome. And on my other podcast, the one I deleted, I actually had an episode about imposter syndrome. But I just want to walk through these things real quick. So this is an article from The Muse. If you've seen the other one that I did earlier this year on my other podcast that I deleted, you probably heard about these, but I wanted to do it again on this podcast because I think it's really important to you freelancers. Imposter syndrome is going to pick It's going to sneak up on you quite a bit. I know it has for me. So the first type of imposter syndrome is the perfectionist. So they were saying like perfectionism and imposter syndrome often go hand in hand. You want to be like the master of your own destiny. So you feel like an imposter if everything's not perfect. And it's really challenging because it really messes up how much you can ask for help and how much you can really just, like, you think that you have to be perfect all the time. So if you're not perfect, you feel like an imposter. And it's a really challenging one to have because you can't delegate, you are a micromanager. If you accidentally miss the mark, you accidentally make a mistake, you feel like you're not cut out for what you're doing. And it's just a really hard burden to bear, to be honest, because everyone is not perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect person. And it really stops you from getting out there because you're afraid to fail, because you're like, I can only be 100% perfect at this. If I'm not perfect, then I'm not worth it, or I'm not cut it, or whatever it is. So that's really challenging. So I really encourage you, if you're a perfectionist, to really look deep inside and be like, hey, everyone makes mistakes. No one's perfect. This advice is not perfect. Everything's not perfect. My podcast is not perfect. My sound quality is not perfect, but I'm putting it out there because that's important to me. So the next one is the superwoman or superman. This one is like the person who is the kind of always doing the most, or always like saying yes to things. They're always staying late at the office. They're always, you know, they're always trying to do more and more and more because they feel like they haven't truly earned their title. And sometimes I guess I kind of feel that way too, but I don't think that's like my type of imposter syndrome as much. So you're working harder, you're working longer because you're like, oh my goodness, I need to prove something to somebody. I need to prove that I'm worth it. So I'm just gonna like throw myself into all of the work that I do. You don't want downtime. You find it wasteful. Like, you're just trying to be going all the time because that's how you feel not being an imposter, because you're like, I gotta do work 24/7, otherwise I'm an imposter. So that's the superwoman/superman. One I am is the natural genius. I feel like that's the one I am. So they set their internal bar impossibly high. Natural genius type don't just judge themselves off ridiculous expectations. They also judge themselves based on getting things right on the first try. Like, obviously that's something I'm really bad at. I'm really bad at taking feedback. It's something I'm working on because I'm like, oh my goodness, if I don't get it right the first time, like, what did I do? I'm always supposed to be naturally good at things. I was always naturally great at things in school, so having challenges in school was really challenging for me. Like, if I failed, it was really bad. Well, not always, like, but especially when I got, like, older in school, failing things was really hard on me. Just not being able to get things good on the first try was always really hard on me. So I was, like, used to succeeding without much effort, and so freelancing was, like, a completely freaking game changer for me, because often I'm getting rejected rejected. I'm not, you know, clients are like, hey, this is not what we're looking for. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And I've had to have a lot of come to Jesus meetings with myself. I'm like, wow, Amanda, you really just gotta stop. Like, feedback is feedback and it shouldn't make you angry or upset. So that's been something I've had to deal with personally. And that's why I really kind of identify with the natural genius, because I had issues with things like that. And being faced with setbacks is really challenging for me. Yeah. So I just want to be great at something kind of off the bat. That's always been a challenge for me. And so that's why I kind of consider myself the natural genius. The soloist is the fourth type of imposter syndrome, according to the Muse. And this is the person who suffers in silence because they feel like phonies if they get help from people. So this is kind of what those people do. So, do you firmly believe you need to accomplish things on your own? I don't need anyone's help. Does that sound like you? Do you frame a quest in terms of the requirements of the project rather than your needs as a person? So a thing about the soloist is that they like suffer in silence. And so instead of like saying, oh, I need help on this, they're like, oh no, I can't ask for help. I don't want to be a burden to someone. Like, independence is cool and all, but like we all need help sometimes. So it's a type of imposter syndrome because they feel like if they were to ask for help, then they would be found out as like the phonies that they are or whatever. You're not a phony for asking for help. Again, like the perfectionist, like you can ask for help. You don't have to be 100% on all the time. Ask for help, you guys, if you're a soloist. And then last but not least, so expert measures their competence based on what and how much they know or can do, believing they will never know enough. They fear being exposed as inexperienced or unknowledgeable. So honestly, I kind of probably am a mix of the natural genius and the expert because, yeah, I just don't want to be kind of exposed, I guess. Some of the things that see you shy away from applying to a job posting unless you meet every single educational requirement. Are you constantly seeking out trainings or certifications because you think you need to improve your skills in order to succeed? Even if you've been in your role for some time, you can relate feeling like you still don't know enough. And do you shudder when someone says you're an expert? So this is something I struggle with, obviously. Like, I am coming into HR tech not with an HR background at all. So this is all the things that I've learned is something I've researched. And it's something I still deal with. Like, I'm like, I always tell people, like, oh, I don't have an HR background, but I just really love HR tech. And it's something that kind of, like, brushes off the experience I've learned over the years and the experience I have as a millennial and what I bring to the table. And I really think it really hinders my growth sometimes. I just feel like, oh my goodness, I have to tell them, like, I don't have any HR background. It's something I tell people all the time, and I really need to stop because I've learned so much over the years about HR, and I'm a great researcher, and that's what I do. So, yeah, so I don't know. It's something that all of these imposter syndromes are something that we all deal with, whether you are the soloist, the expert, the perfectionist, or whatever you are. Like, we are all dealing with our own little qualms in the back of our head, like, oh my goodness, do I really deserve to be here? And so I think it's important to know that we all deal with it. We all struggle. And so you are not alone, not by any stretch of the imagination, not by any means are you alone. We are all dealing with it in our head. We might not be so adamant about it. We might not tell the world, not screaming at the rooftops. We're all dealing with our own internal struggles as being seen as like, oh, do I deserve to be here? So even the people who feel like that, you feel like are like the biggest, the best, they have all their shit together, they're also dealing with it. So yeah, if you're dealing with it, other people are dealing with it. So just get out there, put yourself out there. Don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to miss it on the first try. It's okay. It'll be okay. Put yourself out there because that's gonna make you the best version of yourself for this freelance game. Because you hardly ever, unless you just have like this strong presence, are gonna get people knocking down your door to work with you. So at least at first anyway, obviously over time you'll get more of those like inbound leads. But when you're just first getting started, that's not gonna be there. So you gotta be the one knocking on doors, and you gotta be the one pitching. You gotta be the one putting yourself out there. You can't let imposter syndrome get in the way of you getting money. That's just not how it's gonna work here. So I really hope that you guys loved this episode and that it gave you some food for thought. Get yourself out there. Put yourself out there. Get money. All the good stuff. So I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye!
Thank you so much for listening to the Ambitious Freelancer podcast. I'm so excited that we got to hang out today. If you want to hang out between uploads, check out thehappyarkansan.com/ambitious freelancers. There you will find more support and advice as you grow your freelance business and connect with other listeners of the podcast. I cannot wait to see you in the group, and I will talk to you in a few days with some more great advice.